I thought that you are still setting up your systems. Okay, I think let us then start. We will start as usual. Let us introduce ourselves to one another, and then we can take it from there. I am sitting here. I understand that you are disturbed that I'm sitting in an awkward position, but this is the most strategic position where I'm sitting. I'm able to see you and to see the screen there. So that's why actually the system here is not working. That's why we decided that we can sit like this. But otherwise, let me start by introducing my portfolio committee here. I'll start with myself and my staff. Most of you know me, Ngabangabo. And then I've got Shanaz here, who is our committee secretary, and Dr. Rene there, who is our researcher. I've got the assistant secretary. Vuyokazi Makhubalo is the assistant secretary. And then I'll start there from the big chief. Introduce yourself.
Chair and honorable members, finance guests. I am Nkosi Mwelo Nongonyan from the OR Tambo region of the Eastern Cape and a member of the committee deployed by the ANC.
Thank you, Chair, honorable members, and our guests. I'm Linda Lotunjwa, the whip of the committee, a member of the African National Congress, coming from the Eastern Cape.
Thank you. I'm Helen Lyne. I'm from the Northern Cape, and I'm a member of this portfolio committee.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Marion Shin from the Democratic Alliance.
Over to you, CEO.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you once again for the opportunity to come and interact with you and talk about our performance in the past year and some of our thinking on the future. Sibusiso Sibisi, CEO, CSIR.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Tulani Dlamini. I am the member of the CSR executive. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable chair, honorable members. My name is Rachel Chikwamba. I'm a member of the CSIR executive.
Good morning, honorable members. I'm Ofi Maria. I'm group executive operations of the CSR.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honourable members. My name is Chris Sturdy. I'm the CFO at the CSR.
Oh, those are the are members from NRFI. But I see there are people left far behind them.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Aziza Friedrichs. I'm the CSR parliamentary officer.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Tendani Tsedu. I'm the media relations manager at CSIR.
Okay.
Good
morning. Are you sitting so far? Are you scared of your CEO?
Certainly not. Good morning, honorable members. My name is Jackie Fager. I'm the acting GM for communications at the CSIR.
Good morning, honorable members. I'm Arlene Perez from the CSIR Parliamentary Liaison Office.
Therefore, I say, oh, what have you done? Why are those people sitting very far from you?
Maybe that's because of the chair. they just want to have a perspective fully on everything.
Then go ahead, then, but thank you for coming. I think the ball is in your court now.
Thank you once again, Chair, and good morning once again to you and members of the Portfolio Committee. And it's always a pleasure to come here and share thinking and get ideas on what your view on a variety of things is, as we're going to discuss with you today. I'd like to indicate that what we'll do is talk mostly, as per brief, about our annual report, in other words, how we've performed in the past year, starting, as usual, by talking about CSI, and then our performance, people, our work, and finance and governance, and then what is not strictly part of the annual report, looking forward to the future, so that you can have a glimpse of some of our thinking, and by all means, feel free to assist us and comment, because much of this is fairly recent thinking. I think most members will now be familiar with the mandate of the organization, which is that we do directed and multidisciplinary research and technology innovation to foster industrial and scientific development with other people in the private and public sectors to improve the quality of life of the people of South Africa, without necessarily specifying what the exact areas of activity are going to be. Let's move on. And the performance for 2010-2011 is measured against, very broadly, those measures, building and transforming human capital, where progress has been made in the year in question, and as evidenced by the best employer status awarded in 2010. But there's more detail, of course, in the annual report, and I'll say a little bit more on that in a moment. Strengthening the science and technology base, and exceeded our target of publications, and improved our focus on our R&D portfolio, and that there will indeed be a suggestion of even further focus that I will look at when we talk about looking forward. And technology transfer, and transfer of technology and transfer of people, skilled human capital. Progress made in identifying commercialization priorities, significant value in supporting national priorities, but there's always more we can do in this area, and we shall once again talk about that. And of course, financial sustainability, good corporate governance, and unqualified audit, once again, and a solid financial performance in what has been a rather tough economic climate in the past year. So let's move on. Some actual numbers, staff complement, 2,300 total at CSIR, with 65% in what we call the science, engineering, and technology base, 64.5. And those various figures, which are probably best appreciated, represented graphically, such as the set base, that black, 52.6%, female, 33%, and so on. But let's look at some stats over several years. Number of staff with PhDs steadily increasing, standing at about 300 in 2010-11. And the next one, number of staff studying for MSc PhDs. You see that there's quite a strong pipeline here. And percent of staff are female, about steady at 33-odd%. And there's a comment there that just the female component of the set base includes young women of childbearing age, and there will be, the demand of associated with research, associated with long hours, are often problematic for women to young children, and that has an impact on how the ability to grow that number substantially above 33%. But we given, statistics elsewhere, we think the 33% is actually quite good compared to other institutions. Set staff who are black, the highest was just there in 2008-09 and 2010-11, and I think that's but hovering. The important thing here is that it's hovering well above above the 50% mark. But of course, people also move and they go elsewhere, as should be the case, and then join other institutions and so on. In the past year, there also was a restructuring of a unit within CSIR, and followed by a more focused recruitment drive aimed at reaching the target for this key performance indicator. We can talk. That may sound a little cryptic, but we can talk a little bit more about that if necessary. Number of studentships speaks for itself, just ramping up on. And, yeah, let's move on. By all means, feel free to raise questions on anything that may be a little unclear that you seek clarification on as I speak.
No, you can just present. Once you have finished presenting, the members will then file their questions, which you must jot down and respond accordingly. Whoever is competent in response from your question. That's so for now, just give your own presentation. Members will be taking note of, unless there is something of real clarity at an immediate point.
That slide gives an indication of, well, firstly, our people and the organization as a whole. So, for example, Professor Suprakashina Ray, who runs our nanostructured materials center, that's relatively new, very dynamic individual, one of the top 50 chemists internationally. An award, prestigious J.D. Roberts Award to Dr. James Maina in our built environment area. Logistics Achievers Award to State of Logistics Team. This is the annual study that we do of the state of logistics in the country that we publish every year. And, of course, the Best Employer Status that was awarded in 2010 to CSIR.
What is CRF?
For the life of me, I can't recall. What is CRF? I cannot recall what it stands for, but it's an organization that does these studies. We can find out for you. I can't recall what it stands for. Okay. Next. And international patterns. Now, here what we are showing are cumulative patterns, because nonetheless, there are 14 new national patents granted and 29 new technology packages available for transfer. But what we always report on are the cumulative patents, because really that's the stock of intellectual property we're in a position to exploit. But as you can see, we're adding something virtually every year. It may not be much from the one year to the next, but this is also a game where obviously, also you may not. It may be lumpy. You may have a few patents or registers in 1 year, and maybe not so many the following year. But also, the restrictions ultimately on what you can register internationally, because it's expensive to take out and maintain a patent. But and we're having to.
What does it mean when you say patent Japan, patent US?
These are a country patent, patent in Japan, patent in the U.S., patent in Japan and U.S.
It's not the work of CSIR, the work from there.
No. Our work. CSIR, our work. And you take out a patent.
Okay.
No, this is CSIR, our work. And you take patents out in various countries, because they all have their own patent regimes. And then you protect in the respective countries so that you may then, exploit or license appropriately. Okay. Let's, that next one, an indication of our royalty and license income. Again, it is lumpy. We had a good year in 08, 09. And not as good in subsequent years. But you might well find that the next year is a good year again. It may not be. You know, these patent payments can often, because these numbers are relatively small, a single royalty payment can make quite a huge difference to your profile. And indeed, there was a substantial one from the U.S. In there. But the sort of things that we work on and continue to work on, heavy vehicle simulator, for example, which is the next version is now available for commercialization. I believe, in fact, there's been interest. Hopefully, can comment on that.
Yes, Chair, if I can do it very critically. This is a machine that was developed in South Africa. 10-15 years ago, we sold some of them to California. We have subsequently sold to Florida in the USA, to Finland and Sweden, fairly recently to India, and right now, of all countries, Puerto Rico is buying one. China is interested in buying one. Mexico wants to buy one, and we get royalties on that. And then the latest one is the Federal Aviation Association in America wants to buy a double-sized thing so that they can test roads or structures, but under the load of the big planes. So they want a double-sized one. So it's a nice case of South African technology that's actually quietly, once every few years, somebody else wants this. Every time we think this is now done, it's now dead, somebody else wants it again. So it's actually a nice positive story.
Typically, you might see things like this that you say to yourself, but I've seen that shown before. But the reason we show something again is because there's been a development in the year in question, which warrants our telling you about it. Exactly the story that Hoffi has just told. Similarly, the ultraviolet, the camera for monitoring the corona of transmission lines to look at the integrity of transmission lines. So that you can intervene early if there are faults. This is the next generation, and it's now being commercialized via a startup entity that are calling Uveco. Ultraviolet, infrared, the UV stands for ultraviolet and infrared for the IR, for infrared, to indicate the part of the spectrum that the camera looks at to form pictures of the corona. Let's look at the next slide. Publications.
Chair, before you had tried to explain for me the yo-yo, what I term the yo-yo graph. You could see that 405 to 405 was high, and then next year down almost a quarter, then the following year, but from 09, 10, and 11, sliding down. Is there any explanation about that?
What happens here is that you get payments, royalties from people that have licensed your intellectual property to, and they may have a very good sales achievement in a particular year, and not on subsequent years. Or it may be that the technology of license is coming to the end of its market, of its commercially competitive life. And you may then either develop the next generation and they may license it from you again, or something else may happen. And that's what you are seeing here, certainly in particular to intellectual property that we license to the U.S. Now, you may want, I don't know whether my CFO wants to comment a little bit more on that. So,
to you, Chair, then, so that you understand me. Yeah. In other words, it does not give us an impression that in terms of producing this quality, we're going down. It has something to do about the market trends.
Precisely. Exactly so. You see, so it's not a comment on the quality of the work we're doing, but simply on the market realities at the time in a particular year. Particularly when you have a relatively small portfolio. If you think about it in the extreme, if we only had royalties from one product, it might go from a big number to zero from one year to the next. Do you want to comment further, Chris?
Thanks, Dr. Sabisi. Maybe if I could just add and explain that spike in 0809. That was a particular technology we licensed to a company in the U.S. that made armored vehicles. And it was the height of the Iraqi war where U.S. Marines were being killed by roadside bombs. And this company sold a large number of these vehicles to the United States military, which led to an increased royalty payment for the CSR Obviously, in more recent times, the U.S. is extracting itself from the wars and hence reduced sales in those cases. So no question about the quality of our IP, but the market circumstances around it.
Yeah, may I just add something? The global financial crisis has also an influence here. In some cases, people were ready to put up new factories, and they decided not to do it. And so you're just on a longer program now. In other cases, we actually, in the biosciences area, we had the case that they have actually returned some patents to us. They said they still think it's a good patent, but they don't have the funds to pursue this at the moment. And that's just the global financial situation.
Chair, a question of clarity.
No, it's not a question of clarity. I'm just proposing a process that is not going to delay. Why don't we allow them to make a presentation and finish, and then, because if we are going to ask questions in between presentation, we are running the risk of being delayed. It's a humble request. Thank you, Chair.
That is true, but sometimes it's just a small question of clarity so that people move along with the process of presentation. That is allowed, but of course, I think we said it like that, that they will have to present and finish, but where there is a real question of clarity so that you move with the presenter, it's fine.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you. Next slide. Publication equivalence, it's just ramping up quite nicely. Now, that's an output that is an important measure of the scientific activity, intensity, and quality of what we do. The fact that we get into, as you can see, some top journals in the world here and often make present a paper that's on the front cover of the journal in question is indicative of the quality of the work coming out of the organization, which may be an indirect response to the question we were asking earlier. So both quantity and quality ramping up nicely. Let's continue. And of course, the impact of the work here is a health example. Once again, you may remember this from the conversation we had last time, but in the year in question that we're discussing, 2010-2011, there's been some additional work in hospitals being opened, and this is one of them here. The context, if I may remind you, you may or may not remember, is the work that we've been doing on design of hospitals in such a manner that you reduce the cross-infection between wards, for example, of people who have got TB here and people who have got drug-resistant TB over there. So we've been involved in that quite a bit. And hopefully we are continuing to be involved with the Department of Health. And as you can see, the Minister of Health and the Deputy President there. Picture's probably not so clear there, but an example now in industry of work we've been doing in trying in finding, this is something that detects cracks, breaks in railway lines. What happens is that a railway line is in tension, can typically break at a weak point, a welding point, for example, where it joined together and pull apart like this, and so that there's a gap. When you then send a sound signal, then it will not propagate across the gap, and then know that there's a problem. So an ultrasonic signal, the railway line itself is a guide, acts as a guide of a fairly long distances of the signal, and that way you can then find out where the cracks are before they become a big problem, while there are really very small cracks, which can ultimately derail a train. And we have saved a few such derailments that Transnet might have suffered, typically at the Saldana, on the Saldana railway line. And that is receiving attention internationally now. There have been people who have been interested in this in Japan and the U.S. and so on. And again, you know, it's just work we're very proud of, because there are other people, big players, such as, a major company in the U.S. who were looking at this as well and could not quite find the effective solution that we're able to find here. Okay, natural environment water resource monitoring programs such as the Cradle of Man of humankind, which is threatened by AMD acid mine drainage. And CSR-led multidisciplinary team has been looking at that and doing a full assessment to understand the different pathways where AMD enters and impacts on and leaves the site. But yeah, let's continue. This environment, there was quite a lot of publicity around the guidelines on managing, treating, well, fixing potholes that were published, and it's available on the net. Anyone can download it and make use of it, following the strict guidelines that ought to be followed in order to fix potholes properly, together with a training component. And that received quite a lot of attention last year, you will recall. Next one, broadband for all, ICT in society, and that's low-cost infrastructure that is used and owned and supported by local communities, because it's simple to maintain, can involve local communities in the maintenance, so the people have direct ownership of the network that is deployed. Using technologies we refer to as wireless mesh networks, but that's a detail. Let's move on. Let's look now at the figures, the finances put together. 2007 to 2011 ramping up nicely, as you can see, with the substantial increase there in the SA public sector contract income. A little bit in SA private sector, but rather modest growth. And then international income in blue. The parliamentary grant is that gray bit over here. And then that little cap, yellowish cap, gold cap, is the royalty income. Obviously, we'd like that to be bigger, but it's not straightforward. It's lumpy, and we'd like it to be a bigger percentage of our overall. But anyway, healthy finances is the bottom line here. 1.8 billion total, as you can see. And let's look at the next slide. And good corporate governance received, as I have mentioned earlier, an unqualified audit for the umpteenth time now, remains financially sustainable, level 3 contributor, triple BW, rating, and good environmental stewardship. We maintained our ISO 14001 compliance and an exemplary safety record. People not getting badly injured or anything of the kind. And energy, well, our efforts internally to reduce our energy consumption achieved a 21.4% reduction. So I think, if I may, this completes the story, and the details are, of course, in the annual report on, let's go to the next slide, on what happened in 2010, 2011, annual report. We'd like then to link this, with your permission, to looking forward and the things that we want to do in the next little while. It's not very many slides, but let's go forward quickly. What we've done is to take into account the external environment, what the stakeholders tell us, what you tell us. So there have been a number of strategic drivers, which have largely been saying we need to focus more, we need to do fewer things and do them on a bigger scale and enhance the impact of the activities of CSIR. And we've been listening to the recommendations, for example, of the 2007 OECD review, which said exactly that. We do perhaps too many things. They did not question the management of the organization. They all say it's well run and so on, and that we think that we do a lot of good things, but maybe we do, you know, there are too few people in too many different areas. And 2009 CSR review also had similar recommendations. So we've said, okay, let's look at this, not throw the baby out with the bathwater, keep all the things that are good, but seek to get better. And so next slide, please. And let's have a good understanding of what the expectations are, what the external environment is, starting, say, with the Millennium, globally, the Millennium Development Goals, and asking what are the areas where we can make a difference as CSR. Clearly, it's not going to be everywhere, but the key here is that where we feel we can make a direct, already either are making a direct intervention, or by virtue of our mandate and the expertise that we have, we can make a direct intervention. is indicated by a deep blue and light blue, sort of intermediate and indirect color down here. So, for example, eradication of poverty and hunger, combat HIV, AIDS, science and technology speak to all of these areas very directly. Perhaps indirectly, arising from work we may be doing here to improvement of maternal health and reduction of child mortality rates. And for CSIR, in any event, achievement of universal primary education is really more about schools and teaching issue and so on. It's not primarily a technology issue, even though technology may play a role. At least that's our take on it. And promotion of gender equality, obviously that's something we do, and as you saw in our slides, in our employment policy, we strive for gender equality, but it's not an outcome directly of the research and technology that we do, the promotion of gender equality. So we cannot claim that to be the case. And the new growth path, we know, I won't read all this, we all know about the various aspects of the new growth path strategy, our contribution. And again, strong blue, special development and rural development, energy, transport, housing, economic sectors, so infrastructure, economic sectors, potential new economies such as green economy, less so social capital, public service as an organization, as CSIR. Next one, the 12 government outcomes, and once again, I think let's move directly there. We can contribute to sustainable rural communities and all these various safety for South Africans, long and healthy life and so on. Less directly, well, and as a consequence of doing all of this, contribute to creating a better South Africa and a more effective public service and improved quality of basic education, but those are not going to be areas where we're going to argue defensively our direct areas of intervention. And against the overarching background of what the National Planning Commission Diagnostic Report had to say on a variety of things, that the crumbling infrastructure, poor education outcomes, and so on, what are the things that we can then do to alleviate, to mitigate those observations in the diagnostic report? Resource-intensive economy, we can make a difference, crumbling infrastructure, wine infrastructure, and so on, high disease burden, and so on and so forth. That is more a human behavior thing that is not really a science and technology issue, so we cannot purport to have a direct impact on things like divided communities and corruption. So let's put it all together. Millennium Development Goals, with that color coding over there, MDGs and National Planning Commission, New Growth Path, Government Outcomes. So if we pull all this together, eradication of poverty, HIV, AIDS, high disease burden, rural development, long and healthy life, they tie together nicely in what one might label as a health focus. And the next, environmental sustainability, protect natural environment, and crumbling infrastructure and so on, human settlements, built environment, resource-intensive economy, green economy, economic sectors of industry, and safety for South Africans, particular, it depends on security, and the industry is associated with a particular sector of defense and security. And of course, some cross-cutting activities in energy is a cross-cutter across there. And of course, there are then also cross-cutting outcomes or constraints, as the case may be, such as a constraint such as an uneven public service performance, which one can seek to improve upon, or seeking to contribute to a skilled and capable workforce and effective local government and global partnerships for development and so on. So those in deep blue would like to invite you to focus on, as well as this one here, the energy, as the areas of intervention through science and technology that we've identified, and therefore, there we are, just represented differently. These are going to be, in fact, already are, but we are going to strengthen and consolidate them further. The areas where we want impacts to be through the work that we do in health, natural environment, built industry, defense, and energy, increasingly so. We need to build that quite substantially, though, yet. And underpinned by a whole host of enabling technologies, in material science, sensor technologies, photonics, robotics, and so on, and various other research facilities, all of which are areas that are present and strong, and some of them that we are building and strengthening further, like modeling within the CSIR, to speak to each of those areas. Now, what we have then said is, and perhaps before I make the point I want to make, but okay, let me give an indication of where I'm going, and then we'll stop there. What we want to do is to identify some major areas of work that we're calling flagships, which are time-bound, which are mega projects, which are going to tackle particular areas with a very specific collection of integrated projects with a start and an end, so there's a definitive commitment, and not just open-ended, ongoing research. That will continue to happen. But what are the big things where we want to make and are willing to be tied to particular time frames? Bearing in mind that as an organization, with other science councils who sit here in the middle, who don't do basic research, nor do we traditionally get involved in the implementation, but we do direct research and development, and the universities might be here, and various other players like the ITC, venture capital industry in general, would play over there, and the likes of the NRF would support the universities up here, and there's the likes of, say, TR, Technology Innovation Agency, TRIP, playing in the middle here, and Water Research Commission, and so on. But what we're then wanting to say is that we'll continue doing as per classical positioning of CSIR with R&D projects that sit in the directed research development activity. But we'll also initiate some conscious flagship programs, which are really going to focus much more on development and innovation and implementation, and the implementation, which will involve very strong partnerships. So what we'll take the stakeholder engagement and partnerships very seriously indeed. And when the colleague here, Dr. Rachel Chukwamba, introduced herself, she did not mention that one of the things she's coming to help the office of the CEO with is exactly that, the partnership role.
Is she not the one who was in the biotechnology division?
That's exactly so.
I know the one.
She. Correct, yes, she's from biotechnology, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
she's sitting in an executive role now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought you say she works with your office.
Okay, correct, in an executive capacity.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. All right, okay.
Yeah, okay. So, what might these flagships be? And we've identified, we don't want them to be too many. Let's remember that message, focus impact, that everyone has been saying to us and we've been listening. And so we say, water sustainability is going to be a major focus of what we're going to do. And we'll talk about everything from enhancing, improving the, increasing the amount of potable water over period of time, but issues to do with pollution, with effluent monitoring, with collecting data on the state of rivers. We saw the example we gave, for example, on the human cradle of mankind, and doing work assessing the AMD effect on that, and as well as a collection of projects. And what then happens here is that a lot of our technologies underpin work in that area. We may have seen when you visited us at CSIR, I think you did actually, the work that we're doing on a box that will sense, that's got probes, that sits at a treatment plant, effluent treatment plant, to detect the quality of what comes out and sends it in real time to some central point. Now that brings together sensor technology, communications technology, and understanding of water, and so on. So that's the one big area, and we can tell you a bit more about it. Health and nutrition is the other, and the burden of disease that we all know about. And we say health and nutrition because we're not just talking about TB diagnostics. We're obviously talking about that, but we're also talking about simply better food, including technologies to do with preserving and storing food and so on. I think that would traditionally, which is closer to the industry of food rather than the crop science and agriculture, in that particular example. And then safety and security, an area where we're strong and an area where we believe in the next little while we can have a huge impact by way of better monitoring of our territorial waters, of our borders with other countries and within the country. For example, we played a huge role during the World Cup in the monitoring of stadiums and any event where there's large numbers of people and there's security concerns. Here, deploying technologies that are really surveillance technologies as indicated over here. Now, there isn't time for us to go into detail on each of these, but these are integrative projects that will bring together the multidisciplinary strengths that exist within the CSIR, and I'm going to say over a net period of time, without stopping anything else, this is the kind of focus we're going to place on the things that we do. Next slide. And for now, that's just a glimpse into the future, and we'll hopefully have an opportunity to tell you a great deal more about it, maybe at the point that we discuss our shareholder compact for the following year. So on that note, thank you very much.
Now, just, you know, annual reports deals with numbers of how money has been spent. I've not seen anything about money.
Oh, really? There was a slide.
Eh?
There was a slide showing the income over and tracking it over several years. Shall we go back to that?
Can you show me that? Yeah, because annual report. Actually, my expectation of your presentation, at the beginning of the year, you come and present your strat plans of things that you are going to do, like this or that, your vision and mission statements are all there. And then at the end of the year, you bring an annual report to show what were your successes, what were your challenges in what you said when you came to present your strat plan, and how are the figures corresponding to that, how can Parliament help you, probably if it was a question of scarcity of money or insufficient funds, how can Parliament look into that in the next coming year so that the interventions that need to be done and so forth. That's how it's supposed to it should flow like that, so that we are able to see how much from what you had planned at the beginning of the year you have achieved, and how much have been the challenges, and how we can remedy those challenges as Parliament, or in terms of looking at other resources available to go to intervene and address those particular problems. That's how the report is supposed to flow.
We hear you, Chair. You will also, of course, have noted that over the past several years, the way we structured our annual report, both the annual report itself and the presentations, has been by telling stories of achievements, as exactly as we told before this slide, during the year in question, and what events, what things happened, what the commercialization successes were, what our journey has been with regard to human capital development, what the new project of research projects are that we have pursued. And we've given you some examples of that before we got to this slide. And then, of course, a summary of the finances. But, of course, the full detail in the annual report, with as per normal, with the full income statement and balance sheet and associated other financial information. The person best placed to comment a little bit further, depending on exactly what you want to know, we can point you to the appropriate page in the annual report if you have in front of you, or at least I hope you have.
I can't remember which year, but there was a year when you said that you have changed your strategies. We want now CSIR to be a research institution with a business focus. If I'm not mistaken, I expect to hear more how much that strategy has worked. Well, of course, I've seen some of the results. Is that what it is? How much fund is this generating now for CSIR, that strategy of research with a business focus and so forth and so forth? I mean, something like that. We need to hear these stories.
I may be missing something, Chair, but I've been saying that for 10 years, that the business component is not a new strategy, it's not a replacement of anything. We've always been an organization that's a research institution with a very clear business focus and mindset, in the sense of conducting the work that we do in a manner that's in keeping with sound business principles, as well as, of course, generating income over and above, considerably over and above what we receive by way of parliamentary grant, which is precisely why we have continuously been able to run the organization without showing a loss at any stage, without showing a qualified audit. And these bars give you the precise indication. Also, parliamentary grant is 33%, that bar here, of our income. The rest is royalties, it's external contract income, international, the blue, and contract income, yes, from the public sector, but it's nonetheless not grant funding that we get given. This is a work that we execute against specific deliverables, similarly with the private sector here. So it's only that bit that is grant funding that within our discretion. So in that sense, everything else arises from hard-nosed business activities over here, in the sense of contract work for someone who's looking for a deliverable that you then deliver and get paid in accordance with having executed the work. So, and that's been the case, as you can see, you know, all along, and if you go trace it all the way back, you'll see similar patterns. We've always derived most of our income from sources other than parliamentary grant.
Well, let me give a platform. I just wanted to make an overview of that. But otherwise, I see Honorable Shin, Honorable Ngozi here, in that order. Honorable Dunja will
thank you, Chairperson. If we can turn to the annual report, where we have this graph, which is what, page 119. It might just be in the graphical representation of it, but in the figures on page 119, we say that the income from the local public sector, that's other government departments, I assume, income has dropped by 20 million, and yet it looks like it looks like it's actually increased from the previous year. Is this something visual here, or am I getting my arithmetic wrong? Because, I mean, if you say in 2010, the income from the local public sector was 848.8 million, and this current year that we're talking about, it's dropped to 820.7 million. And perhaps you could explain why that is so. Is the government just obviously just spending less money? But then also encouraging to see is that your operating expenses have dropped also quite considerably. So somebody's not getting paid enough. Or whether that's just smart bookkeeping there. That is. But going back to your financial sustainability, which you say that you are, your basic parliamentary grant is 33% of your income. Does that make you financially sustainable? I mean, do you not need a better bigger parliamentary grant, or is your new strategy going to take you away from being fairly dependent on parliamentary grant? And therefore, while your little circles all show that you're going to be addressing sort of the country's basic needs, are you going to be focusing, because a lot of your innovations have come up from bright ideas that you've, you know, come up with, you know, around your coffee table or whatever. How much of that is still going to be around those bright ideas that don't necessarily fit into any of the of your categories? Then just I mean, it's difficult to find anything to pick holes in this annual report. So I would just like to know, what is the bad debt of $500,000 that was written off, and the lost and stolen equipment of 800,000, if I could have some indication of what that was. And then basically, I just wanted to ask about the wireless networks, but I think that's we won't go into too much detail on that. The international patents, your cumulative international patents, do you have a number of how many actually have been commercialized? Just an interesting number to see that. That then basically is what I wanted to know. Thank you.
Just record those ones, and we'll come back. Honorable Ngozi.
Chair and honorable members and guests, thank you very much, first of all, Chair, for the opportunity. I think, for the first and foremost, I may indicate that I'm pleased about this report, and I must thank the leadership of CSRR for...
Can you put your micro closer?
Closer, okay. For the wonderful work that they've done and for this report, and particularly, Chair, for having accounted properly for the finances that we supported in the budget to vote last year. I may indicate then, Chair, that again, in line with what the Chair indicated earlier on, it will be good for us in our oversight. Things that you told us that you would do in the last financial year on the basis of the money, that you have reached all the targets, that there have been some challenges here and there, it would be helpful. I would have done so if I had time, because I would have checked the last annual report presented to us last year and compared it to what you told us that you would do last year. But it would be good if a bit.
Shareholder compact. What you told you in the shareholder compact, is that what you mean?
I'm generally including it, but I'm just generally. What I'm trying to say here is that in each and every financial year, obviously you have got a budget, you have got your targets, you see. And then you have measured those targets with the finances. You may find that perhaps you could not achieve this for this and other reasons. When you count our account to us, I would have expected at least you give us some indications. No, I did everything as I had set my target in the last year. It will help me as a parliamentarian in my oversight that indeed you did what you promised that you would do for the public. That is, by the way, not what I wanted to indicate as incidental to what the Chair actually asked earlier on. But for me, Chair, I'm very, very pleased about the potholes issue, which I think is well known, affects my constituents in Umtata particularly. Now, that research and that documentation, that's the essence of my question. Has it been shared, at least with the government or municipalities, with a view at least to have this knowledge? Because I think it's a very, very good thing that CSR has done. And secondly, to that, that chair, which also follows the same slide, is on broad on this broadband for all, which affects many communities. Some, they don't have access to radio sometimes, of course, cellular networks and everything, particularly the rural community. If and then we could unpack for us, you know, the impact to those masses, whether they have got knowledge of this, particularly the governing structures there. The other one, Chair, is on sorry, Chair, if you can tell me, this is the last one. Yeah. The last one on the new growth path. The new growth path. Unfortunately, the slide is not shown what slide number is. But that is where you refer to, amongst other things, special development, rural development. There's something that you have stated there. There's something that you are focusing on, which is very good. It's close to my heart and my constituents again. But I would like to unpack that so that I understand. What have you done around this? I think you said it's a strategic focus. What have you done in the last, and what are you promising to do or continuing to do in this regard? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. My question is, I will premise my question by saying majority of us have been allocated constituency areas, which people in those constituency areas are subjected to hunger, poverty, not being able to go to school. But they are surrounded by a number of things that can change their lives for the better. I've been trying to peruse your annual report. I don't find in your MDG goals in the slide here, it's not just this one, that has got one of the circles that are saying eradication of poverty and hunger. That is why I'm saying, as much as our communities, majority of them are in poor conditions, but there are a number of things. I'm raising this, Chair, because when we were in CSIR, we were shown some of these scientific words, where there is what? Nanotechnology? Yes, we were shown there is a study there that fascinated me, and I pick up that because of that excitement. When I went out to my constituents, I saw that it was something to do with plastics, where everything that is of plastic in nature is melted. And we were told that you can produce the most durable door frame. Our communities are. There is lots of rubbish, if I can use that word. What do you call it in Kunkuma in English? Waste that our people are not aware that being looked into and being transformed can change the conditions of our people for better. Now, in the eradication of poverty and hunger, how then do you see yourselves assisting government, in particular at that level of local government, where everything is happening there? Waste that is taken to areas where we don't, it's just being dumped. Waste that people are living with, which is quite unfortunate. But how does CSIR assist us in ensuring that we participate in that, in us going and do that oversight and make some observations of those? How then are you able to assist us in our communities, in our constituencies, in empowering our people? Let me tell you what I did. I went to my constituency. I said they must collect all this. Now I'm getting calls. When are you coming to tell us what we must do about this? And I pick up chair that, gosh, I have raised expectations, and because of the excitement, now I don't know what to do. I'm going to go to TIA office in my area to say, come there, go and assist me in empowering those communities. Now, we observed when we were doing our oversight, there was that. I see now there's something to do with potholes. We were shown of low-cost houses. I get a sense, and I'm subject to be corrected, Chair, I get a sense that all these projects or studies that are being conducted, which are to ensure that some of them really eradicate poverty and take our people out of hunger, are put there in that corner for scientists. But are they not to be taken out and ensure that government is assisted? Because it can never be government alone, with the departments, with private sector. So my approach is still, Chair, I may be raising something which is closer to my heart when I was part of the committee doing oversight, and say, wow, there are things here that can really assist our people, but our people are not aware. Ourselves were not aware. But as an institution, as an entity of Department of Science and Technology, how can we? Is there a way that we can invite you in assisting those communities in ensuring that they know when there is waste, they can get something there that is able, being dedicated and committed, but also empowered in understanding that in that waste, which is called recycling in some other, in that waste you can change your life for the better. You can pick it up that I've been saying that for three times, changing the social conditions of our people. And I hope I am not I'm not creating a confusion. I'll be told by you that I am a bit confused. I'm an organic scientist. I'm inspiring to be a scientist. I'm sure when I'm about 80, because I'm starting to start it, the chair knows that at times I really become excitement, because science cuts across in all the areas and the sectors of our lives. But at some point, science is just, at times, some of these projects are put there, which are very powerful and profound for our communities. It's a combination of all things that I've put in the basket. It's for you as scientists to sift out and tell me where I am wrong, or what is it that we can do when we go to our constituencies, utilizing your expertise and your skills in these entities. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, let me summarize what she was talking about. She may have forgotten, maybe. We were visiting the built environment when they showed us three things. They showed us the type of tar, which is very thin, economic, but strong. Yeah, I think concrete, yes. And they also showed us the waste, which she's talking about, that this waste could be used to do, as she was saying, frame doors, some, in fact, at some other stage, even the bricks, they showed us that this is what could, and then they showed us the houses, the low-cost but strong houses, compared to the other houses and the design and so forth. And they said there's a project in Cape, in Western Cape, by the way, already doing prototype samples of these houses, which could probably be the future projects for government. So I think she's talking about that. And I remember I said that there is such a lot of work that you have in technologies, but you do not have a communication strategy. That is why we don't know. And actually, since we were there, we've never seen anything about it until today. You see? It's not in the newspaper, it's not in the radio where you can show that this is what the CSR is doing. Nanotechnology. We were shown a lot of things that have been developed there in nanotechnology by Professor Supercus. And nothing, we have not seen it after that. We haven't even come across any newspaper talking about it or, you know, clientele legal. They advertise clientele legal and you end up being hooked up the way they advertise it, and at the end they don't do all the things they say, you see. But the strategy is powerful. You see that Dube everywhere. It comes more often than not in your television telling about the clientele legal, how it protects you, how it it improves your health and everything, you know. I have an experience now with them because they also hooked me up, but they do not do what they say at the end. But what I'm saying, that is what we would have expected in the midst of poverty in the country and the strategies of government as to how to intervene, to create jobs, to do that. If you could take those technologies just to a few rural areas, it's a big, big difference. Big difference. In fact, the first thing is to take that to SABC and do a communication strategy of what to do. You will see a flow of invites, people wanting these projects to be brought to their areas. I think that is what the WHIP is talking about. I don't think we have done very well in communication strategy for versus what you really do there in research. I think that's one of the things that we must. Who is your communication strategist in CSIRO? I'm sure he's not even here. That's why. Because as a person, you're supposed to come with here. Because that's a person who must listen to what we say here so that you communicate your energy. There are so many energies that you have there. But you do not. We are in the box, working in our box, you know. So I think that's one of the things we need to find a way to, you know, communicate. And then you'll see, because I'm sure even the Planning Commission they have, they will, if you are communicating what you are doing there, they would have found a way to say, let's use CSR and go. I remember actually the Department of Transport. They've got such a big strategy about how CSR should be used to really to make the difference in terms of employment on the roads, in the transport sector, and so forth. We once visited the coastal action here, the coastal engineering project here in Stellenbosch. So much of work is being done there, world-class technology, but nobody knows about it. We, even being the members of the Portfolio Committee on Science, it was our first time to see that. The survey that you are doing, the survey that you say annually you do, very important thing, but nobody knows about it. It was my first time to know about it last year when we were invited to Stellenbosch. Very, very many things that you do, but you do not communicate. They remain closer within those gates. So I think that is what the WIP is talking about. You need to look. We haven't had our five in that project, with that Western Cape project of this housing. How far has it gone? Is it succeeding? If it is succeeding, what is the attitude of government, probably local government here, the provincial government? We need to know about those things.
Thank you, Chair. If I may, I hear at least three categories of questions and comments. The first category has to do specifically with what we're asked to come here and do, speak to the annual report. And I will, if I may, make some comments on that and then invite colleagues to comment on the things that I leave out. In particular, I'll invite the CFO to give responses to Honorable Sheen on bad debt, equipment loss, and the number of international patents that have been commercialized. That's one category, the annual report. The other category are things that we have been telling you we want to do in the future, which was the second part of what we spoke about, and then making reference to the MDGs, the new growth path, and so on and so forth, and the rural development issues. What we're talking about there was not addressing clearly directly the topic of the day, which is the annual report and what we've done in 2010-11, but giving a glimpse of what may be contained in shareholder compacts of next year and the future regarding areas where we want to have an impact. And then the third category of things I hear are general comments about CSR in general and about perhaps that we don't communicate adequately and so on. And let me start, if I may, with the first category, namely things that have to do specifically with the annual report, and allow me to start with the comment made by the Honorable Nongonyana, because it then leads to the questions posed by the Honorable Shin. Concerning the issue, there's always a challenge, of course, of how much do you put in a presentation that is simply repeating what is in the annual report. But if I may invite you to look at page 113 in the annual report, you will note that, for example, at the top, table 2, gives a set of key performance indicators in the strategic area of building and transforming human capital. And against those key performance indicators, which is what we discussed with you at the beginning of the year as contained in our shareholder compact, we said these are our targets. That's the next column, that those are the numbers we shall aim to achieve. And we are saying in the last column that is what we have achieved. So there's a whole set of tables of that nature. If you move on to page 115, strengthening the S&T base and performing relevant R&D. We said under those R&D outputs, strategic research alliance measures, that these are the targets, 2010-11. And these are the actuals that were achieved against targets. So all of this is contained in particular places in the annual report. And so we thought what we would do is to adopt a presentation style where we give you some examples of stories rather than just a collection of tables, which you can always look up in annual report. I hope that Honorable Nkonyana answers your question with regard to the KPIs as contained in the shareholder compact, i.e. what we said we'll do and what we have done, which is now indicated. And so it goes. The page 117 does the same thing for transferring technology and skill to human capital and so on. So it's all in there, and of course that eventually leads to financial performance on page 118, 119, which are the questions that the Honorable Sheen has been raising. Leading to the annual statement on financial statement on page 119. With regard to the question on the 848 versus the 820, I think that it would be useful at times to represent, although these cumulative bars are useful for showing the categories of income, because one bar falls on top of the other, it can be difficult to make direct comparisons from one year to the next. But if you look at the graph on page 118, in fact, you'll see that the bottom bar of SA private sector has increased a little bit, yet it has increased by more than whatever difference there may be between the top of the bar of SA public sector. So there's a slight shrinkage, as indicated there. The absolutely clearest way of showing these things would be to show the cumulative together in this way, perhaps also show subsidiary graphs, and we'll consider that, where we analyze only SA public sector income and only royalty income and only parliamentary grant, separate graphs, then it should become visually much clearer what the patterns are, rather than trying to read the pattern from a composite graph like this. But the graph is not incompatible with the data as given. And then there was also the question of the size of parliamentary grant. At 33%, does it adequately allow us to pursue the strategy that we've outlined? What we're seeking to do here is to firstly respond to the refrain over several years now that we do too many things, we defocus. Focus more and aim for greater impact in fewer things. Now, we hope that in so doing, we can also then put forward a more compelling case using first our own investment in the things that we want to do, those flagship areas that we discussed with you. And then come and say, through you, through the minister, and so on, can we also prevail upon the South African public through the finances that are made available to us via Treasury to invest additional funding, additional parliamentary grants, so that we may best realize what we are trying to do? But our approach tends not to be that to simply say we've got too little money. We must first say this is what we want to do, and here's what we're investing. And we do invest, and that perhaps does not come across strongly enough. Even the question about business, we generate profits from our contract work. We plow a good proportion of those profits back into infrastructure, the equipment that you saw when you came visiting, the expensive equipment. We plow millions, we've done so over the past several years, hundreds of millions, in fact, into doing exactly that, using the profits that you generated, but then co-investing with whatever additional income that comes from other sources, from parliamentary grants. So we're very conscious of the necessity first to put your own money where your mouth is and demonstrate clarity of vision and strategy, and then say, therefore, can we partner, can you, DST, put a bit more money and then raise parliamentary grant. I think that's much more convincing. That's an elaborate answer to the question that the Honorable Sheen asked. We do need more money, but we don't want to just say give us more without saying exactly this is what we already, we believe in this so much that we are going to put in our own money into it and then ask for more. I will for now, if I may, skip the bad debt and international patent questions and leave that to you, Chris. And I may have left one or other 2 points as well that I have. Please do pick them up. Then I think that deals with the direct questions to do with the annual report, in other words, 2010, 2011, except for what the CFO will comment on in a moment. Then there was a set of questions that related to not the annual report, but the latter part of our presentation, and then the much more general set of comments. Honorable Nkonyana made reference to the new growth path and to rural development and noted that that's close to our heart. We believe that the areas in that area, for example, the broadband, as you pointed out, broadband for all project, is something that we are particularly excited about as it applies to underserved communities in distant areas, out beyond simply people living in the city and who are not yet connected in a lot of instances. And a lot of our health focus has to do with that as well, our work on TB diagnostic and so on. But let's be clear, though, that what I was talking about then was what we intend to do in the future, giving you a glimpse of what we're going to do and saying we're going to flesh this out with a lot more detail, and that when we then meet again, when the thrust of our interaction with you is our new shareholder compact and our vision for the next 3 years and beyond, we're going to then talk in a lot more detail about what we're going to do and indeed about what we're not going to do, because ultimately, you know, we've got limited resources as an organization. So we by making reference to that, our, you know, looking forward, part of our discussion, we're just, it was an advance, you know, showing shortly, as it were, an advance glimpse of what we're going to do. In the same breath, I'd suggest, if I may, Honorable Tundra, that your comments regarding the Millennium Development Goals, the legitimate issues you raise regarding the plight of people in the area that you come from and so on, are all issues which are not speaking directly to the content of what's in here, but are much broader. And how are we, and that's exactly the issue we've been grappling with ourselves, how do we enhance our impact as an organization? And the way to do that, ironically, people have been making that very observation, is to not then respond to a whole host of challenges out there, many of which actually also even call for a technology intervention, such as education at every level. But if we are then as CSR to say that we're going to, with equal vigor, respond to each and every challenge, then we're back in the very predicament that we are told and that we know ourselves can lead to our then attaining little impact, because we only have finite resources by way of people, by way of finances, by way of things that we can do. We've got to make some choices. So when you exclude certain things, it's not because we think certain things are not important, but simply because we can only do so much. It's just a practicality. And we have to also learn to perhaps partner a lot more strongly. We are not going to roll out the thin concrete roads ourselves. We can demonstrate the technology and that the technology works and that it can be rolled out in appropriate circumstances, or the housing, the RDP house that you saw. But it has ultimately got to be other people whose task it is to build houses, which is not the SESR task. We've got to then either take a view that we shall do this, or for whatever reason we're not going to do this because we believe that these are the reasons for not doing it. It's finding that interface, and where we then say, for CSR, it stops here and somebody else, and typically in, say, water provision, or whatever it may be, housing, it's municipalities, and so on and so forth. The areas where it's, in fact, it's a little simpler, ironically, in defense, for example, it's more straightforward because typically, well, there's one Department of Defense, and when they want something, you talk to, say, AMSCO, and it becomes a straightforward interaction. When there are several municipalities, you have got to interact with a whole bunch of municipalities. But nonetheless will come back and will talk to you a bit more without necessarily then saying we'll address every error that you put on the table, because that's a big ask. We shall say this is what we're going to do and these are our boundaries. And Chair, when you, in your summary, I take your point, but maybe it's a little, you are absolutely right that we can and should communicate a great deal more. There's always room to communicate better. Sometimes it's a little expensive to do so, but be that as it may. If I may, but you make certain points, such as, for example, you look at nanotechnology work and then you don't see what happens to it. If I may invite you to look at page 46 of the annual report, you'll see that there's something on advanced polymer nanocomposite research, taking the band out of plastics. And if you read there, this is exactly ending with the picture at the bottom of page 47, the industry scale extruder. This is work, as you know, I mean, it progresses from early stage work in nanostructures all the way to now beginning to be involved in manufacturing. And that's exactly what you're seeing in the picture at the bottom here. But that's what you've been doing. That refers to the work that we've done in the previous year as per annual report. We're not at a stage yet where we've got a huge industry based on the activities that we're doing. But we're going to keep reporting to you on that year on year.
I agree with that. All that I'm saying actually is that you have all this, but people do not know. That's what I'm saying. The message is that, as you are saying, you CSIR is not there to roll out roads or to roll out machines and whatever, but it is there to simply demonstrate that this is workable, this is doable. This is the technology, and then people must then take it up. Those relevant departments or institutions should take up to then roll it out. For instance, the municipalities is a very good example of what she was talking about. That they have also the waste that they go and throw there is it's a nonsense even for them, if they know that they can use that to really generated some social impact in their vicinities. I'm sure they would take it out. Now, all that I'm saying is that having gone there to CSR ourselves as a committee, we saw such a lot of things that are done there. The capabilities are there. It's just that nobody who is a relevant stakeholder knows. We went there, we now know simply because we are an oversight committee, we saw them, but we have never after this seen anything about it until today.
That's fair enough. I'm the first to concede that there's always room for better communication, and there's no doubt about that.
I see the member also wants to add something.
No, Chair, I just wanted to check with this issue of communication and say to the CEO, you know, our people are not interested in annual reports, in figures. Can I be protected, sir?
Very well protected.
Yes. And I know that's what you have been asked to come and talk about in the committee. But you must remember that as we are then become exposed to this, as we have visited your institution, there are things that we will have an interest on. And I don't think we've been out of order. It's because we are giving you work to do when you go back. So say, in fact, those members are giving us more work and more thought. How best do we ensure that we go, when we go back or when they come back for oversight, they are able. I will just say simply, this is more technical, okay? This is more technical, but there are things that would always have an interest within the context of we are an activist parliament, as the president said. But having said that, because maybe it's for another debate at some other time, because I have always been wanting to, we've got two metros in my province in terms of municipality. And I've always wanted those, it's either the mayors or the MMs, to go and visit SIR and be exposed and see how best can they, as the chair have said. But they can't do that. Obviously, you don't have money. They can't do that alone. They'll have to see how best do they also partner with private sector in ensuring that some of the things are being done. Will that be allowed? Can we do that, Chair? Can we give them your contact number so that they request to go and make their own observations and see how best can they assist? The Chief Nongonyana is true what he's saying. Potholes are a nightmare in our country. We are even being ridiculed as the African National Congress about the issue of potholes. And it's a pain. Now, when you see things that you think, oh gosh, is there some areas where this can be an institution that can assist municipalities? So the question is, and if we give them your contact numbers, they come and see this thing so that they are then able to come together and partner in using the technology in addressing some of the challenges that our municipalities are faced with. And I agree with you, it's this, but kutwa ke ngesiXhosa, unfortunately there's no translations here, kutwa ngesiXhosa, ukuthetha kuzala okunye ukuthetha. Somebody can translate, I'm sure the advocate can translate, ukuthetha kuzala okunye ukuthetha, meaning as you present this report, there are some other things that are coming out, as much as they are not part of the report, and it has not been your brief and your mandate for today. But they generate some of these things, and our apologies if we have. Thank you. I just wanted to ask that question. That will you allow them a space to look into those? Thank you, Chief.
Understood. Thank you. And regarding the interaction, perhaps I should allow my colleague to come in, because there are still outstanding questions that have not been answered. But the issue of potholes, for example, there were more than 800 participants who attended the training courses. So there has been quite a lot of interest and interaction from a variety of people. It's been downloaded. Possibly the manual is available on the internet to be downloaded by anyone. So it happens to be the one example, the one that you've chosen, where in fact awareness has been actually quite high out there in the community. But having said that, you can never say, this thing is like the length of a piece of string, this communication. You can never say, I have now communicated enough. There's never such a point. So one will always concede that there are more ways, more innovative ways of communicating. May I invite myself, and then perhaps my other colleagues who want to pick up some other points too.
You know, just before they talk, the Department of Social Development in KZN is the best communicator of its activities. I now know, they are always there. They tell how they are going to do, when they are going to be at a certain place, how they are going to do. They have even given their minister some kind of nice poetical connotations. So they communicate their message very, very brilliant. And that is what CSR can do. That does nothing. You just need your communication office to be on top of it. That's all. Simply put the message by radio, by any type of electronic media, so that it reaches out about so many good things that you do there. The Minister of Science and Technology even said to me, there are so many things they do, but they don't communicate. See? I think you must try and wind up because the next delegation is already outside. So if you can just summarize what are your responses.
Thank you, Chair. I'll try and be brief. Thank you, Honourable Member Shin. I knew I could count on you for a few finance questions. And in picking holes in our report, as you mentioned, you zoomed into areas that I would have zoomed into as well. So kudos to you in terms of picking up the issues there. In terms of the bad debts written off, we don't write off bad debts willy-nilly, if I could put it that way. The bad debts written off amounts to 0.04% of our total revenue, so very low in terms of our bad debts, and it relates to three debtors in the past year. The first one is a bursar for 125,000 Rand, which we've written off, but we do put in place a payment plan where that bursar will repay the funds over a period of time. The second two write-offs relate to private companies, which were declared insolvent or in a position where they were unable to pay us. And those two amounts were 136,000 and 263,000 respectively for the two private companies. In looking at bad debt write-offs, you should also look at the number just above that in the financial report, which is reversal of impairment of bad debts, which indicates amounts we'd provided for as a bad debt but then subsequently collected. So essentially a good news story there, 831,000 reversal on the impairment. The second question is the loss and disposal of equipment. And if I could address this in three categories, it consists of lost or stolen equipment. And that is typically, if I look at our insurance returns for the year, laptops stolen out of cars, housebreaking. We had cable theft. We insulate all our buildings with copper cable to protect scientific equipment. That was again stolen. Baggage and equipment stolen at OR Tambo Airport. We lost a number of wave riders or wave boys, which are boys we deploy in the sea. When there's a storm, we inevitably lose a few every year, and that's part of the losses. And then we had some smaller items, projectors stolen and so on the campus. The other category is damage to equipment, which was right down. We had lightning damage, we had water damage. We have a number of vehicles, and a number of these vehicles were involved in accidents during the year. And the third category is where we write down the net realizable value of our assets. Each year we do an impairment test. And these, in the past year, typically related to fire upgrades that we've done on buildings many years ago. We upgraded carports in the 1980s. And in discussion with our auditors, we decided that the net realizable value should be written down. We're also busy, if you remember your visit to our campus, upgrading a number of buildings in biosciences, DPSS. And when we do so, we write off what is on the asset register and capitalize the new improvements to those buildings. So an element of it relates to that as well. So that relates to the loss of the equipment. Decrease in operating expenditure. Yes, we did have a decrease. Reflecting on the year, and I said it to our management team, it's probably the toughest year that I've had as CFO from a financial point of view. We seem to hit the recession slightly later, being in the public sector than the private sector experienced it. We did try and build in efficiencies and save on operating expenditure, and a big part of that is also related to, if you look at our note on property, plant and equipment, we had less expenditure, we invested less grant funding in property, plant and equipment, and typically that you write off or expense in the year that the grant funding is available. So there was less of that as well, which helped us reduce the operating expenditure in the year past. The issue with regards to the number of patents commercialized, I don't have the number on hand. Royalty income is a poor proxy for that, because one could have one patent that's a blockbuster and it gives a lot of royalty income. We do have a number of license agreements out there. In terms of how one defines successfully commercialized, I think we'd have to have a discussion around, because a number of them create jobs, but those companies are not financially sustainable as of yet. We're not making large margins. As Dr. Maria said, a number of the licenses and IP that we have given or issued licenses on have been returned to us as a result of the financial recession. It's a challenging area, and it's an area I think we look to do more in. There are a number of challenges there. Venture capital in the country is not like the U.S. risk-averse private sector, but it's an area we'd focus on, and I'm happy to get to those numbers in terms of number of licenses issued. commercialization is also reflected in the numbers that we're seeing in terms of our contract income. That is essentially tech transfer of our intellectual property. So it's a bit of a difficult question to answer, but in terms of the commercialization aspect, but I can give you the number of license agreements and so on. I trust I answered all the questions, Ms. Shin. Thank you.
I trust for sure that we do indeed use technology very effectively ourselves. CRF stands for Corporate Research Foundation. The question was asked at the beginning.
So I think that's it. That's all about your presentation and responses. I think we'll take a short break, honorable members. Something about 15 minutes, so that we can then continue to the next presentation. But thank you very much for coming. As you said, what you have presented, we are very happy about it, except that you do not communicate. I think that is something that you must go and work out in future. The Auditor General was very happy about your work, and indeed even the Treasury. But the problem is that you don't communicate it. That's the main problem. I do not know. We need to send the whip to whip you. You see, that you communicate all these good things that you do there. Otherwise, thank you very much. We will see. When we come there to CSR next time, we want to not to talk about communication. We want to say that, yes, we have now seen you. You are visible. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Honorable.